Hello and welcome to the ACS Nano podcast for June 2011. This is Heather Tierney, managing editor for ACS Nano. Today, our show is all about graphene. First, I'll talk to Professor Ilhan Aksay and Sabal Korkut about high surface area graphene tapes. Then I'll speak to Coyne Nguyen from Professor Moonsub Shim's group about their work using Raman spectroscopy to understand doping and thermally induced effects in graphene. But first, a quick reminder, don't forget to submit your questions on ACS Nanotation's Ask the Scientist. To submit your nanoscience questions to our featured expert, Professor Yves Chabal from the University of Texas at Dallas, be sure to visit www.acsnanotation.org. Graphene is an extremely exciting material that is currently being studied across nearly every area of nanoscience and technology. In order to take advantage of the unique properties of graphene, will be necessary to manufacture specific shapes and larger, continuous sheets of these intriguing two-dimensional materials. To this end, a recent ACS Nano paper from Princeton described the formation of high surface area graphene tapes. Today, Professor Ilhan Aksay and Dr. Sabal Korkut join us to tell us about this work. Hi, Ilhan and Sabal.
Hello.
Hi.
Welcome to the podcast. Can you start by briefly describing your method for fabricating your graphene tapes?
So for fabrication of these tapes, we first study the dispersion of graphene, and in our case, this is functionalized graphene, in water. We especially wanted to be water-based system so that the cost is low. And after we do a study of the dispersion with the surfactant, we find some optimum conditions for the dispersion, and then study the rheology, because this is really necessary for tape casting. You want a good shear thinning, usually. And after that, we have a good mixture, and we tape cast it on a substrate. And after the solvent is evaporated, you can peel it off and have a freestanding composite film, which then you can heat treat to remove the polymer and the surfactant. And what's left behind is a network of functionalized graphene, which is essentially low density because it's porous. What's removed by the polymer is left behind as pores, and because our graphene is functionalized and because it's wrinkled, it also maintains the high surface area of about 500 meters squared per gram, and then you can do whatever you want with this material, use it for any application.
What advantageous electrical and mechanical properties did you find for these tapes?
What's important here is to put things in perspective, because when you report a density, strength, and modulus, oftentimes the density of the material is ignored, but it really doesn't make too much sense without reporting the density. So what we found out is, given our low densities, our materials are actually fairly robust. You can handle them fairly easily, and you can get a fairly good conductivity out of them. So within that scale of density, we fall to a very good range of properties of surface area, conductivity, and strength compared to any other published work for carbonaceous networks.
So let me add to that. If you look at figures in our paper, especially figure 6, what we do there is we compare our results against any other carbonaceous material that was produced in some form of a shape, in a compact form. If you want high surface area, you have to sacrifice the density. You have to go to low densities. So high surface area means low densities. So it makes sense to plot the properties always with respect to density. Whereas in many applications, this density is not reported, just the conductivity is reported. So figure 6 compares the results of our tapes against all other materials, and we do better per density against all other materials in conductivity, strength, and modulus.
And Sabal, you already touched on this a little bit, but your sheets contained lattice defects and vacancies, and they were partially oxidized. But in your article, you describe how this can actually be advantageous for a number of applications. Can you tell us a little bit about functionalized graphene sheets?
Pristine graphene, which is produced by peeling graphene sheets from graphite or by depositing graphene or growing graphene on certain templates are free of defects in general. There are still some defects, but the defect concentration is very low. So consequently, if you are looking for electrochemical activity, let's say for sensors applications, pristine graphene doesn't work well. Or if you are looking for a supercapacitor, again, pristine graphene will not work well. So we look for functionality, and functionality comes into our graphene by the way we produce it. We start with graphene oxide and reduce it thermally. That gives you oxygen sites as well as lattice defects, which are very important for functionality. And we also regulate the degree of functionality by playing with the carbon to oxygen ratio. We change the carbon to oxygen ratio by annealing our material at different temperatures. Until we exceed carbon to oxygen ratio of 10, the material is not electronically conductive. So above carbon to oxygen ratio of 10, it becomes electronically conductive, and we can increase this ratio to numbers around 500. Higher the number, closer we get to the pristine graphene state. So that gives us a spectrum of functionality anywhere from highly oxidized to very low oxygen contents, but high lattice defects. And we still do not fully understand what is the optimal functionality. And presently, our research is focusing more on the optimization.
And what do you see as some of the most promising short-term applications for either your graphene tapes or for graphene materials in general?
Well, first one is supercapacitors. So we have projects on supercapacitors. Not only us, but many other groups around the world are now looking at the use of graphene, especially functionalized graphene, for supercapacitor applications. Second area is energy storage. For instance, lithium-ion batteries or lithium-air batteries. And the third application is electrochemical sensors, which again come with this functionality. A fourth application where we focused on is catalyzing, using graphene, functional graphene, as a catalyst for the combustion of fuels. And the fifth is, again, catalysis in fuel cells. And in all these, you do need the functionality.
One final question. What's next in this line of work for you at Princeton?
Theoretical surface of graphene, whether it's functionalized or pristine, is in this order of 2600 meters squared per gram. But when you make a compact, either at a tape or a pellet or any other shape, the surface area comes down drastically. As Sibel mentioned at the beginning, to numbers around 500 to 1,000 meters squared per gram. Obviously, if you like to retain the maximum surface area, graphene sheets should not be touching each other. But then you cannot make a device. So to come up with a device, we would like to maintain the high surface area in many applications, but we also like to have the mechanical powers and the conductivity. So our goal right now is to go to the highest surface areas, numbers above 1,000 meters squared per gram, and still produce shapes. So that's our main goal right now in many of the things we are doing.
Excellent. We'll look forward to seeing some of that research in the future, and thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Graphene is currently being considered for its potential use in electronic applications due to its high carrier mobility and thermal conductivity. Before realizing these potential applications, a more fundamental understanding is needed of the doping and temperature-induced effects seen in graphene. A recent ACS Nano article from Professor Moonsub Shim's group at University of Illinois used Raman spectroscopy to elucidate some of these effects. Today, Coy Nguyen from Professor Shim's group and first author on this paper joins us to tell us about her work. Hi, Coy. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
Can you start by telling our listeners a little about why it's so important to understand charging effects and thermal responses in order to use graphene to its full potential?
Well, exceptionally high carrier mobility makes graphene a promising material for future electronics, and outstanding thermal conductivity is beneficial for its electronic applications, as well as its applications as thermal management material in optoelectronics and photonics. Also for graphene integration with silicon CMOS technology, as device size scaling down and circuit density increasing, the chip power consumption grows, and thermal management is becoming more and more important. And that's why understanding charging effects and thermal responses of graphene in order to fully explore its potential is so important.
And what makes Raman spectroscopy an ideal method for studying these effects?
As an optical technique, Raman spectroscopy is non-invasive and non-destructive method. And graphene has clear signatures in Raman spectra, the G and 2D bands, that make Raman spectroscopy a key structural and bifunctional characterization tool. Moreover, because of strong electron-phonon coupling in graphene, changing the Fermi level can alter Raman feature, I mean the frequency, light width, intensity, and in turn, Raman spectra can provide information about the doping level, the carrier scattering. In addition, its anharmonic decay of optical phonon to lower energy phonon that make Raman feature can be used to infer temperature and making use of Raman for studying thermal properties.
In your recent studies, what insights did you gain about doping effects upon heating?
Well, because of the Raman feature depends on both charging and temperature, in our work, we do simultaneous Raman and electrical measurements at different temperatures to separate out doping and temperature-dependent effects. And being able to separate out those two has allowed us to identify extrinsic effects, I mean interaction with the substrate that alters temperature dependence. That's a new information about the doping effects upon heating that our work can provide.
What observations did you make about the effects of substrate interactions in your experiments?
Our observation can give answer for open questions. The first one is the variations in the first order of temperature coefficient, even with the same starting materials and the same temperature range studied. And the interaction with the substrate that caused the irreversible change in temperature response upon heating cycles, and it gives different values of the temperature coefficient. The second is the more important one about the G-band light width, which is important to understanding the energy relaxation processes, because the experimentally reported values of G-band light width is usually larger than the theoretical prediction. In our work, we sought out electron-phonon coupling and temperature effects by fixing the Fermi level and temperature, and we are able to distinguish the interaction with substrate that caused the structure deformation and hence the inhomogeneous broadening. That's why the G-band light width usually reported higher than the VOE one.
Well, excellent. Thank you very much for joining us today to discuss these results.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the ACS Nano podcast for June 2011, and thanks to Ilhan Aksay, Sibal Korkut, and Koi Nguyen for joining us today. Tune in next month for more highlights from ACS Nano, and be sure to visit us online at www.acsnano.org.